Let's all say amen. God is really a sweet God to us. He woke us up this morning, and I don't know about you. You ought to have a song in your heart, and you ought to have some praise on your lips that the God of heaven saw fit to wake you up this morning. It's good once again to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray all is well with you. But if you're having some trials and tribulation, I just stopped by this morning to let you know everything is going to be all right. Amen. That's right. I've learned that if you put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, he's promised to make everything all right. Amen. Church, we serve an awesome God, a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. And in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And Paul reminded the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 5 and round about verse number 8, he said, "God demonstrated how much he loved mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died on the cross." Amen. And church, if that don't motivate you, if that don't move you in this year to do a better job for the Lord, you know what? You might be like Rover. Dead all over. That's right. But this morning, I just want to give you some words to encourage your heart. New year, new beginning. In Luke chapter 4 and round about verse number 18, Luke says, "This is the acceptable year of the Lord." And I don't know about you, I want to make it an acceptable year. I want to just encourage everyone that came out yesterday. We have a lot of things scheduled for this year, and we hope and pray that we're going to accomplish each and every one of them and give him the glory in the process. Amen. You know, there are some souls that are lost. Amen. Amen. There are some people that don't know which way to turn. It is your job, it is my job to help them to see what thus saith the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, around about verse number 13, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But the Bible says Jesus turned to them and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And my boy Peter, quick to step up, quick to do whatever it took to serve the Lord, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God." Amen. Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. And then he reminded Peter, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And you know what? I'm glad to be part of that kingdom. And this morning, I want to encourage each and every one of us. If we're part of the kingdom, the body of Christ, we need to really buckle down and prepare ourselves for this year. Jesus says, "Behold, I come as a thief in the night." And I don't know about you, I want to be watchful when he comes. I want to be ready because, you know, we're going to leave this time side of life one day. And when we leave here, what will he say to you? Will it be depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Or will it be well done, thou good and faithful servant? You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And so this morning as we look at this text, I know living on this time side of life, there's always something going on, is it not?
Amen.
Always something. You put one fire out, there's three or four others. You put them out and then somebody else light another fire. And you know, and in this world, we're going to always have some problems.
Yep.
But it's good to know that I serve a God that says if I trust him, if I do what he commands, he may not take away the problem, but guess what? He'll sure make the problem a whole lot easier to deal with. Amen. And I'm glad that I have a Savior like that, that understands me. Amen. He understands everything that I'm going through. That's why the Hebrew writer says we have not a high priest who does not know, but we do have a high priest that was tempted in all of the areas that we are tempted in. But guess what? He knew no sin. That's the Savior I serve. And so this morning, this lesson is really designed to help us to remember that in the midst of everything that goes on in our lives, put Him first and foremost. Because if you put Him first, when the trials come, when the tribulations come, guess what? You will be like the waves of the sea. You'll just be tossed to and fro, but you'll be steadfast and you'll be unmovable. This morning's lesson is taken out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And you know, and they had a lot of problems. Yeah, they had a lot of problems. In the house, outside of the house, they had a lot of problems. But Paul reminded the believers, if we hold to God's unchanging hand, even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, guess what? You will be all right. The first few verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Paul talks about the gospel. He starts out in verse number 1. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. What's today's date? January the 17th, 2016. Have some of y'all fainted already? Have you given up already? I mean, you know how we make them resolutions? Them resolies? Amen. You know how we make them and we're going to do all this and that, and half the time we don't even make it through January? But this morning, church, I want you to realize that God has commissioned you and I to help those individuals that are in darkness. He has commissioned you and I to help those that are in darkness come out of darkness to this marvelous light. And so Paul here first starts off to remind the believer, we had this ministry. And so since we had this ministry, we don't lose heart. Amen.
Amen.
You know? That's why I have to keep my eyes on the cross and not you. Because if I put them on you, I'm going to lose heart. But if I put my eyes on the cross, I won't lose heart. I won't be discouraged. I'll remind myself of what Jesus says. Many are called, but a few are chosen. And so Paul here reminds them that we have this ministry. Since we have this ministry, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience and the sight of God. He says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glorious glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You understand what Paul is saying here? Paul says he's left you and I to be the light on this time side of life. Is there darkness in the world we live in?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of darkness. How many of us got darkness in our house? Don't raise your hand, because I know that you know that I know that God knows that you know that I know that you got some darkness in your house. But how many of us are walking in darkness? But God has commissioned the body of Christ to bring light into the households of those that need light. And so, church, that's why our responsibility, we ought to take very, very serious. Matter of fact, Peter says it's best that you don't know the truth than to know the truth and turn away from it. It's like the true proverb. The dog returns to his vomit, and the sow, after you clean her up, goes back to wallowing in the mud. What are you trying to say? Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we got an awesome responsibility. Our responsibility is help men and women out of darkness to see this glorious light. And see, and the way you're going to do that, first and foremost, you got to see the light in me. Amen. If I can't see Jesus in your face, well, I'll let you fill in the rest of that. That's not the lesson, but that's getting close to the lesson. Verse number 7, the Bible says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verses 8 through 18 is where I want to drop my hat for the next few minutes. Title of the lesson is The Attitude We Ought to Have in the Midst of Trials and Tribulations. I don't know about you, that you know when things go wrong, and they often go wrong, amen, especially when you desire to live for the Lord. Yeah. You know, it's something about living for the Lord. Everybody hates on you. See, yeah. See, we think folk are hating on us because of the way we dress. And they do. Because if you dress in the light as he's in the light, folks don't hate on you. But I'm not talking about a physical dress. I'm talking about the spiritual dress that each and every one of us must have in our everyday life. And when we have this spiritual dress, guess what it'll do? It'll teach you how to love someone that's unlovable. It'll teach you how to forgive, forget, and move forward. Why? Because the love I'm talking about, the dress that I'm talking about, is being dressed with the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit, coupled with his word, will guide and direct you beyond you. I've learned how to go beyond Stan. Amen. It's difficult, because I think everybody wrong but me. Oh, I figured I'd get a rise out of you there. Because isn't that how we think most of the time? That's not part of the lesson, but the attitude we ought to have in the midst of trials and tribulations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and following, Paul talks about a grocery list of things that happen to believers and how believers, in the midst of everything that goes on, they remain steadfast, they remain unmovable. Why? Because of who they serve. And so Paul says in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? He's saying that our life that we live on this time side of life ought to show the world that Jesus Christ is in us. It ought to show us through our attitude, through our actions, and through the things that we say and do every single day. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast and be unmovable in doing the will of the Father. See, our life, it should be in harmony with what thus saith the Lord. And when it is, in the midst of all of trials and tribulation, you and I can have a smile on our face. That's right. You might have a penny and a nail in your pocket, but you can be as happy as old Job's turkey. Why? Because happiness is not centered around what you possess, but happiness is knowing that God sent his son to die on the cross, and I got freedom from sin in my everyday life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he has delivered us out of the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's why I can preach and teach the way I do. I have been freed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you haven't been freed this morning, in a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to be free. Amen. I'm free. I don't worry about the cares of this world. Now, don't you? You're probably saying, yeah, right. Nope. I've learned to rise above circumstances and situations. Because you're going to always have them, are you not?
Yes.
You can clear up all the circumstances and situations today, and guess what? You got a whole new set coming tomorrow.
Amen.
And so why take thought for tomorrow? Sufficient, Jesus said, is the day. And so if we worry about the day and focus in on the day, guess what? We're going to let God take care of tomorrow, and I've learned that. I've learned to let go and let God. But Paul didn't stop here. He goes on to say in verse number 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundantly grace might through the thanksgiving of many renown to the glory of God. For which cause, and really that's where I want to drop the rest of my hat, verses 16 through 18. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions are but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight in glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but we look at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What's your attitude in the midst of everything that you go through? Can you remain happy and joyous when all hell is breaking loose around you? I believe you can.
Amen.
Believe the one you feed is the one that leads.
Amen.
You sow to the physical man, and guess what? It's the physical man where you'll always have your problems. But if you sow to the spiritual man gives you life. So in the midst of trials and tribulations, you can remain steadfast, unmovable. You can remain joyous in everything you say and do. See, in order for you to get to the point that I'm talking about, there are some things you first and foremost must do. First of all, you must learn to surrender your will to the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, in the midst of all the trials and tribulations, in order for you to really rise above many of these obstacles, you got to learn how to depend on God. You got to learn how to trust God. And first and foremost, you got to get out of the way. Amen. That's why I'm the best husband on the face of the earth. Amen. Y'all don't have to amen this. I know it's the truth. Why? Because I trust God. I depend on God. And I try to follow his word to the letter. That way, when I mess up, I can fess up and get on the right track. See, in order for you to really have the right attitude in the midst of trials and tribulations, you got to first surrender your will. You got to get out of the way and say, Lord, create in me the mind that you would have me to be. You got to learn how to move yourself out of the way. And then you got to learn how to trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The wisest man on the face of the earth said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And guess what God will do? He will direct your path. See, if you've been trying to direct it and you ain't been successful, you need somebody else to direct it. You know that we call that social service. Oh. That's right. And you know what? God is in the social service business. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. He directs my footsteps because I don't know how. I say that again in case you forgot. He directs your footsteps too in case you forgot that.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. O Lord, I know it's not in man to walketh to direct his own footsteps. So you don't even know how to walk right. So do you need somebody that you can depend on and trust? Yes, you need the Lord. And that's why Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thy might. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And guess what he'll do? He'll direct your path. The psalmist said in Psalms 37 and verse number 1. The psalmist says, fret thyself because of evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut off like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself always in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Wait a minute. God will give me everything I want if I trust him. if I depend on him, and if my will is in harmony with his will. He says, delight yourself always in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust always in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. The psalmist here reminds the believer, trust God, depend on God, and God will take care of everything else. In our lesson text, you must not only learn to trust him, you got to learn to depend on him. Amen. See, most of us depend on ourselves, do we not? Somebody say amen, because that's why you go to the job can call and you'll run head first. Jesus call and you got to think about it. Yeah. Amen, Walls. That's all right. I'll amen it myself. But church, you got to learn to depend on God. And the only way you're going to learn to depend on him, you got to get out of the way. I'm learning. My biggest problem ain't Sister Harmon.
No.
Ain't the kids. My biggest problem is me. And if I get out of the way, guess what? Sister Harmon might act right. The children, y'all quiet. I must be on the right path right there. But church, the only way you're going to do this is you got to learn to really depend on the Lord. Let me show you what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Jesus says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boy, when I read that a few years back, I said, I'd rather have the yoke of Jesus, because the yoke of this world will cause you to turn every way but the right way. See, you must learn to trust him. You must learn to depend on him. And then in the midst of all the trials and tribulations you face, you got to stay focused. And the only way you're going to stay focused on this time side of life, you got to stay in this book. Amen. That's why Paul reminded Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And Timothy, as you trust in God, there's something else you got to do. You got to avoid foolish conversations. Amen. You know any foolish people?
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't raising your hand. Some of y'all fool. You got to learn to avoid foolish people, because Paul says all that does is gender strife. See, as you trust him, as you depend on him, there are some things I believe that children of God has to constantly be aware of. My mind must constantly be focused in the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Amen. And maybe that's the biggest problem in 2016 with the world we live in. Christ only dwells in us when we got grits in the pantry and a loaf of bread under both arms. But what happens when all of that disappears? See, if he dwells in us, he'll help us to be steadfast. He'll help us to be unmovable. And even when death knocks on our door, we'll have a smile on our face, because death is only the beginning of our life with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, in order for us to really stay on the right track, you got to stay focused. And the only way you're going to stay focused is with the Word of God. Members of the body of Christ, I encourage you this year, take the time and get into your book. And then do some of the things that God requires of us. He requires each and every one of us. James chapter 1, verse 25. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. And then James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? See, it's the book. And that's why he gives us his spirit, because that spirit is designed to guide and to direct us. And that spirit, when you know you want to have them loose lips that sinks the ship, the right spirit will pull the sail down. to where you're able to speak those wholesome words. And finally, I believe as we trust him, as we depend on him, and as we live our lives for him, you need to understand you must stay on the right track by staying with the Word of God. That's right. God gives us our Holy Spirit when we're buried in water for the remission of sins. That Spirit, John chapter 16, verse 13, is designed to guide us, to direct us, and it guides us and directs us through the Word of God. It helps us to love folks that are unlovable. It helps us to forget, and move forward. Why? Because the Spirit that we have is the Spirit that God gave each and every one of us. And finally, I want to draw your attention to Colossians chapter 2. Paul here writes these words as he writes to the church at Colossae, reminding them, beware of false prophets, beware of false teachers. But he reminds the believer that if we have learned Jesus Christ, it ought to be something about us. Look at what he says. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul reminds the believer, stay rooted, stay grounded in the Word of God. I want to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ, as we've started this year trying to seek and save the lost, I want to encourage you, free up God's time before God calls all time to a close. I want to encourage you, give God what's due him before he takes what's due him. Amen. I better say that again. Give God what's due him before he takes what's due him. Want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. We have a serious job ahead of us. God has given you and I the words of reconciliation to reconcile sinful man back to himself. And the only way we're going to do that is we got to trust him, we got to depend on him, and we got to live our lives in such a way that men, women, boys, and girls will ask that question, what must I do that I might be saved? And Paul would write to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 2 and round about verse number 12. He reminds the believer to work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. In verse number 13, Paul says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hope and pray I've said something to encourage your hearts, church. This is lesson number 3 or 2. Okay, y'all help me out, y'all paying attention? Lesson number 2 in 2016. How many will it take before we really understand that God is on the move? And I believe he's on the move right here, amen. I was encouraged yesterday to see your smiling faces. And then I was really encouraged to see those of you that could not walk. Amen, walk. Walk. Because that gives me encouragement. That motivates me to know, church, we can do it. Amen.
Amen.
If we got the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, what can stop us?
Ourselves.
Who can hinder us? Yeah, you're right, Kathy. Just ourselves. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 30, Paul reminds the believer, if God be for you, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And then Paul says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? Is it not Christ that died on the cross? Yea, rather it has risen again. And then Paul said, nay, and everything that goes on in life, Paul says, I'm a conqueror. And I guess that's what drives me home, to know that even death itself can't stop me. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you as believers, stay on track as this year unfolds. Don't get sidetracked. Don't let Satan stop you from doing the will of the Father. He has a purpose. And his purpose is to sidetrack you from doing what is right in the sight of God. Those of you that are visiting, I hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart. Satan is busy. Is he working in your life to where he has you like this? All you have to do is surrender your will to his will. You come by hearing his word. You've heard it this morning, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I said? Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not only must you hear and believe, you must confess that he is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess his name, Matthew 10:32-33. We'll bury you in water for the remission of your sins. And guess what? God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift will guide and direct you on this time side of life. I know where I would be without the Spirit. How about you? If you stand